So Paul says, listen, I want you to know that I have an allegiance to him based on what he has done on Calvary's cross. I don't need anybody to challenge me to live for him.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad that you're with us today. And Pastor, I think a lot of us may feel inspired when we hear this challenge to live for Christ, because we don't always take the time to think about what it means that Christ went to the cross for us. That's something that so often can just roll off the tongue. Oh, I know that Jesus died on the cross. But when we actually stop and think about what Christ accomplished on the cross and what is ours because of that, then I think we might be able to agree with Paul and say, I really don't need that challenge.
Well, Steve, I think it's because, okay, if I gave you a dollar, what would you say to me?
Thank you.
Okay. If Bill Gates or Warren Buffett gave you $1 billion, would your gratitude be a little greater?
It would look a little bit different.
It would look a little bit different.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It would for me as well. Amen. Yeah. I mean, I'd holler.
Oh, yeah.
You know, oh, man.
You'd have to pry me off the ceiling.
$1 billion.
Yeah.
Well, think about the extent of what Christ did. Look, sometimes we do focus on, and we should, because the Bible tells us, what he accomplished for us. But what about what he went through for us?
Mm.
What about the agony of the cross?
Yeah.
It was one of the most devastating, one of the most excruciating. As a matter of fact, the word excruciating means out of the cross.
Yeah.
You know, and so this death he went through, beard plucked out,
yeah,
crown of thorns, thorns that were 3-4 inches long, jammed into his head, beaten. Vinegar poured over the wounds. Come on, man.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I've heard it said that Christ experienced all that hell is on the cross so that you and I don't have to. He experienced the separation from God. He experienced the condemnation of God. He experienced the judgment of God. He experienced what hell is on the cross so that we don't have to.
That's right.
And when we think about that and meditate on that, I think that is just bound to lead us into gratitude and to a deeper love for him.
It should. You know, when he was on that cross, you know, I like to say it this way, you know, from 12 to 3, it was darkness over the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Why? Because two suns can't shine at the same time.
Mm.
And so the S-U-N bowed its head because the S-O-N was shining for us on Calvary. Man, I tell you, it was midnight at midday.
Absolutely. Well, that's what we're going to continue to look at today. Join us in Galatians 6 as we continue this message. I've got the scars to prove it. Here's Pastor Ford.
He starts off with the capstone of what makes Christianity different from every other religion. The resurrection.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, in other words, look. The same one who had the power to raise Jesus is the same one that gave me power to preach.
Amen.
And so here, so he says, look, this is my credibility. Now, here's what I noticed. The three attacks are covered in this verse. Because credibility as apostle, that's the authority of the man. Circumcision as a condition for salvation, that's authenticity of the message. That's what he does to contrast it. Then the ceremonial and ritual observances, that's allegiance to the master, not to some set rules and regulations, because it's not about rules and regulations. It's about what kind of are. It's not about rules. Thank you, Pastor. Relationship. It's about a relationship. There's so many people who keep the rules and regulations but don't have a relationship. And so here now, he says, listen, you attack my apostleship. I'm authentic. My scars prove I have the right to speak the gospel that I preach. In Acts chapter 14, verse 19, why don't you turn there with me? Acts chapter 14, verse 19. Listen to what he says. Acts chapter 14, verse 19. Now, when he says he bears his scars, guess what he's doing? He's trying not just to show the scars, he's trying to remind them, you know about my scars. What happened here in Acts 14 when he was in Lystra? Now, Lystra is a city in what? The province of Galatia. You know, Galatia is a province, right? And so Lystra, Derbe, all of those places are in Galatia. What happened in Galatia? He was stoned and left for dead. So in other words, they know, listen to this, man, Paul is a bad boy. When he says, I bear the marks, you know, it's kind of like, okay, if you had a child and you got stress marks, you know which stress marks, when you got those stress marks. If you fell and broke your leg, you know. In other words, now you can go back and you can bring to your memory what you went through. Now get this. He's not just showing them to remind him, but to remind them. You remember what happened? You know where some of these scars came from. Some of them may even have thrown the rocks that stoned him. But then what happened? You know, okay, now see, I'm gonna see who's gonna connect this. I was raised from the dead. Okay. Oh. Did you hear what she said? He started off saying, Paul, called to be an apostle by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. Now I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He holds up his hands. Some of them are stoning marks from when he got stoned in Lystra. He is putting the icing on the cake. He's saying, listen, you know I have authority because the same one who you recognize these scars, the same one who raised Jesus, raised me. Man. So what then proves the message? The resurrection. We just studied that. And so what's he saying? He's saying, prove to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, by the Spirit of holiness. Here I'm validating who I am. And so the scars show you what I've been through, but what's not through with me yet. He says, yes. I have authority. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. He's saying, listen, I suffered for Jesus Christ. Where did he get all these marks? Turn just a few more pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Where did he get all these marks? Establishing these churches, really putting himself out. Notice what he says. Let me start in verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Do you see that? He says, I went through all of this. This shows you where I got my authority. And then he ends up by saying, not only did I have to do all this, I had to deal with church folk too. Ain't that about a blip? Yeah, and so here it is. Show me your scars, you know, because scars prove your authority. But here's the second one. Scars prove the authenticity of the message. So what is Paul doing here? He wants the Galatians believers to know, I bear this stigma. Okay, now what's the stigma? What's the stigma about the cross? How many know what the stigma is? What is it? Crucifixion on a cross. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So then the cross wasn't something you wore around your neck in your ear. The cross, when you saw somebody bearing a cross, you know that person is getting ready to go die. And so here, it authenticates the message. And remember now, Psalm 22 talks about the cross. That's about how many years? At least 600 years before it ever became a form of execution. Man, that really blesses my soul, blesses my socks off, that it wasn't a means of execution when David wrote Psalm 22. But it talks about Jesus being on the cross 500 or 600 years before it ever became a form of execution. Which means then, God in eternity looked down into time and already planned everything out. So in Acts chapter 2, Peter says, who was delivered up by the foreordinate, predestined, preordained will of God. Yeah. Because remember now, he had to give up the ghost. Why? Because the wages of sin is death, and he had no sin. So if he would not have given up the ghost, he could not have died. Woo!
Man, I think it'll make you holler. Yes, sir.
Yes, it will.
But
he gave it up for us. Didn't have to do it.
There really is some truth to get excited about, isn't it? You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, a message called I've Got the Scars to Prove It. And we'll get back to this teaching from Galatians 6 in just a moment. If you ever have a question about something you hear on the broadcast, you can ask your question by coming to our website and clicking on the contact link. We'll make sure that Pastor Ford sees those questions, and we might just answer one on a future broadcast. To ask your question, come to treasuretruthradio.org and click on contact. Let's get back to the message. Once again, here is Pastor Ford.
And so here it is now. It authenticates the message. One theologian, I forgot his name, I think it's Dr. Rimmel, was talking to a Muslim theologian. And the theologian said to him, he said, what's the best way to start a new religion? And here's what Dr. Rimmel said. Go out. Get yourself crucified. Get buried in a borrowed tomb. And then get out of that tomb 3 days later. That's the best way to start a new religion. That's it. Yeah, show me your scars. One of my stories, look at it, I'm getting goosebumps already, because one of my favorite stories that I heard where this guy was trying to convince, this had literally happened, was trying to convince a woman who was out witnessing about Christ, tried to convince her that he was God in the flesh. And that's exactly what she said. Show me your hands. You ain't nobody's savior. How come I'm not? Because you don't have any nail piercings in your hands. Yeah. And so here it is. It is the authority of the man, the authenticity of the message. Now notice what he says. He says, I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Here's what gets me. First of all, earlier he had said, Lord Jesus Christ. Who remembers? Lord is what? Jesus is deity. And then Jesus, humanity, Christ, sovereignty. Now, he leaves it off. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this, even though I don't want to. In the NIV, you'll see Lord is missing. That's because it's not in the older manuscripts. But when you look at this, why does he leave that off? Lord Jesus, deity humanity. So what's that a reference to? We call it the hypostatic union. that Jesus is 100% God, 100% man, no mixing of the two natures. So here now Paul is saying, listen, this is who my allegiance is to. My allegiance is to. Now you can only speculate. And of course, speculation is something that we should not do. So let me give you mine. Why leave off sovereignty? Because I don't want you to think that my allegiance to Jesus Christ is based on the fact he demands sovereignty. I want you to know that I have an allegiance to him. I'm connected to him based on what he has done on Calvary's cross. I don't need anybody to challenge me to live for him. That happened when I embraced the... Now, wait a minute. Let's talk about this. Because what we go through in our development and sanctification for many of us is there are things we struggle with. There are some of us in here right now. We're struggling with some stuff that if people knew we were doing it, going there, buying it, saying it, would know our allegiance is not to Jesus Christ, at least in that area. Paul says, I'm sold out. I'm totally committed. You want to know where I stand? Find out where Jesus is, and that's where you'll find me. We're not living in a day like that. You know, right now, I'm fighting with fellow pastors who are embracing the Supreme Court marriage thing and are embracing that homosexuality, God created them and it's in their genes and all of that. I mean, I'm dealing with that right now with individuals who are calling me homophobic because I believe the Bible. They say, you say you believe the Bible too. I'm showing you where it says it's an abomination, you know? Because see, here's the thing. You can't legislate morality. And we have to make a difference between politics and the Bible. You know, that's the problem now. We mix in politics with Bible. God is not a right-wing evangelical God. And neither is he a left-wing liberal God. God doesn't take sides. He takes over. This is what we go by. And so it doesn't matter. And what we've done is we've taken something that is moral and made it political. So I'm not capitulating to that any kind of way, you know. So you can make it politics if you want. I'm not making it politics. It's Bible. That's homosexuality is a sin. You understand what I'm saying? And so there's both sides of this coin. You know, I'm getting ready to preach a message entitled, I haven't decided which one I'm going to call it, but What Would Jesus Do? Or Ministry Jesus Style or something like that. Because what did Jesus say he came to do? He came to open the blinded eyes. He came to give sight to the blind. What else? What else? Set the captives free. What else? What else? He said he came to minister to the poor. To the poor. And poverty and race is issues too. Amen. And so here now, I have my allegiance to him. So then, here it is. Scars show I've been through, but I ain't through. Scars are testimonies of things that have happened. And sometimes we think bad scars are good scars. And there's sometimes we think good scars are bad scars. Here it is. Let me close. You know, I like to pick up things from other preachers. And so I heard Pastor Freddie Haynes speak to inanimate objects. And so I start doing it too. I did. And so my grandson, Jaden, said, Pat Paul, do you have a sharpener for my pencil? That's the way he talks. And I said, yes, I do. It's in my desk. Give me your pencil. So on my way to get the pencil sharpener, the pencil said to me, you going to cut me? I said, yeah. I'm going to put you in the sharpener. It's automatic. It's going to cut you. I don't want to be cut. Let me ask you a question. What's your purpose? I'm a pencil. And what are you supposed to do? I'm supposed to write. Well, you're flat. You don't have a point. So in order to get you to the place where you fulfill your purpose, I'm going to have to cut some stuff off of you. Now, when I cut the stuff off of you, you're going to be sharp. And you're going to be able to be utilized to fulfill the purpose and the function for which you were created. See, somebody created you. You didn't create yourself. And they had a divine design in mind for what they wanted you to do and to be. And so all I'm doing is working with the manufacturer to produce in you what is necessary to bring out that point where you'll be able to help my grandson maintain his A average. You got to cut me? Yes, I got to cut you. And so I put him in. He said, it hurts. I said, yeah, but some things are on you that's keeping you from fulfilling it. I'm cutting it off. And then it stopped. He said, what does that mean? I don't feel the pain anymore. I said, that means everything that you had on you that needed to be cut off is now cut off. He said, phew. When I put him in Jaden's hand, he said to me, he said, I'm glad that's over. I said, but you're going to be used and you're going to get dull again. But don't worry about it. I got you. And you're going to have the scars to prove it. Bless the truth to our hearts, our Father. We pray. Christ's name.
Amen. Well, we're wrapping up our message today. I've got the scars to prove it and our study of the book of Galatians. And if you've missed any of the broadcasts in the series, you can go back and listen online. You'll find all the broadcasts at treasuredtruthradio.org. You can stream the programs, you can download MP3s, or you can order copies on CD. You can also listen if you have the Moody Radio app, and we'll link you to the app when you come to treasuredtruthradio.org. You know, Pastor, one of the things that's so encouraging about being involved in a ministry like this is regular feedback from listeners talking about how God is using this program in their lives.
Yes, they're growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Some of them don't have the opportunity at times to get to Bible study. Sometimes they don't get the chance to study on their own at home.
Yeah.
But they turn on their radio, and Moody Radio is there. The plethora of teachers and good, sound teaching, and they're able to be edified and built up. And so I know that our listeners want to support us with one-time gifts and monthly gifts. And remember, No gift is too small, because it's not what I'd do with a million if a million would be my lot, but it's what I'm going to do right now with a dollar and quarter I got.
Well, if you would like to give a one-time gift or an ongoing monthly gift, you can do that easily by coming to treasuredtruthradio.org. Look for that link that says Make a Donation, and you can give your gift safely and securely online, both the ongoing monthly gift and the one-time gift. Again, that's at treasuredtruthradio.org. Thanks for giving, thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time here on Treasure Truth, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.